If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Cause free love's just about getting late. And free time just means that you're not getting paid. Broken clock still rides till twice a day. So mean what you say. Or break away and save it up for a holiday.
Time pulls on, we're laden wrist. Kissed by the riddle maker's fist. Questions of sand in a glass. Turn it over, count as it passed. 2 minutes of your time should be enough. 3 days and you find it all back. You've got a jar of the stuff. Just try and keep it on track. Cause free love's just about getting late. And free time just means that you're not getting paid. Broken clock to rise still twice a day. So mean what you say. Or break away and save it up for a holiday. Line soon is at hand. When lungs have filled up with sand. 7 days in a week seems like a lot. Not while the earth's still getting hot. The molten future is cast. End all that sentence to pass. Cause free love's just about getting late. And free time just means that you're not getting paid.
You've been listening to Free Time from Pluto Gang's debut release, Better Out Here. Pluto Gang is a six-piece band from Charlotte, North Carolina, and they have a super interesting story, one that probably would have been told very differently if not for COVID-19, the pandemic, and of course the lockdown. In fact, the irony is that the pandemic may have sped things along for this band in terms of putting out music and beginning their rise within the jam band community. It's not often that new music strikes me, but when I got Better Out Here, I reached out immediately. Only after making a connection with keyboardist Joe May did I learn that these guys were into a lot of the same music we're into, and have in fact covered many Grateful Dead tunes, and get this, Wisteria Lane from Goose. So of course, I wanted to introduce you to them and made sure Joe joined us to talk about Pluto Gang on behalf of his bandmates. Our conversation started when I asked Joe to tell me about the Pluto Gang sound.
So the title that we've given it is High Energy Jam Soul, which is kind of very like buzzwordy for music. So basically, I mean, we're all kind of we've all come up in this jam scene. We're all in our mid-20s too, so we've kind of been in this kind of new movement that is blossoming, I would say, right now. Yep. Of a lot of new bands that are coming out of kind of the classics. It's like the postmodernism of jam bands is happening right now. So we all listen to all this, but we have this killing lead vocalist, Brennan Beck. I wish he was on the call right now. He's doing stuff with family.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So our whole thing has been trying to kind of mix these two movements that are happening right now. So on one side, when shows come back, I'm always going to see Goose and Spafford and any other one of the local jam bands that will always come to town and can still play venues that I enjoy really like getting cozy at. But at the same time, Brennan really kind of channels this whole other movement of bands like Alan Stone, he really idolizes, and Lake Street Dive. Ripe is another kind of good example that straddles that. So focusing this kind of like new kind of hip soul movement.
Yeah.
With the jam scene that we all know and love. So that's kind of what we're gunning for. We're still hashing it all out. It's still a very new project.
Yeah, so talk to me a bit about that, because that's an interesting point to all of this, is that this is maybe one of the few bands born out of the pandemic experience, right? You were all disparate in all different parts of the country, and you all kind of descended on Charlotte,
Carolina.
Yep. Because there was a buzz. You guys knew that there was something here, right? Explain that. Tell us a bit about how that all came together.
For sure. So Pat and I, the bassist, had been in a band together in Charlotte about 2 years ago. A bunch of the guys moved out of town and it kind of fizzled. And Brennan and myself, the singer, we lived together in college for 3 years. You know, we've been close friends forever. We just kind of started talking. We needed a guitarist. And Dylan, who is Brennan's childhood best friend, lived up in Charlottesville, Virginia. And we were just buzzing him all the time, like, move down, like, get down here. What are you doing? And his girlfriend then moved down here. So it was like a done deal. We knew we had him. And finally got in a truck, moved down. We convinced him. And I think like before he even had a couch, we were jamming in Brennan's backyard in his garage. And that was in the fall of last year.
So like a year ago.
Yeah, we had only played 3 times really before everything happened. So all of our shows were slated to really, like our shows with original music were planned to start in March.
Wow.
So we got to play one of our spring tour shows before everything happened. So it was kind of, you know, start, don't pass, go, you don't get a chance to type of thing.
Yeah. No, that's incredible. So I guess then the next obvious question is what happens next? So there you are. You've told Dylan that you're going to start this new band. He travels down to Charlotte, okay, to be with his girlfriend, but also to be in this band. And this band...
Absolutely. Shout out to Caroline. We love you.
This band is not going anywhere. This band is stuck, right? I mean, this band needs to make its money on the road, or at least develop its chops as a band on the road, and you're stuck. You can't do anything. So what's next in the saga?
Everything is backwards. I mean, there's like the concept of linear progression is out the window. like far gone. So we had gone up to the mountains. Wood, our other guitarist, his grandparents live part of the time in the mountains in North Carolina, middle of nowhere. They were gone for a weekend, so we went and tucked away in their cabin to just sort of, we were just tracking and ideating more than anything else. And we had kind of had these, we laid down basically the skeleton for Wildfire, MYSS, and Plasmodesmata. And that was it. And then we all went into isolation. All of us kind of took it as opportunities to, I went back to Raleigh to spend some time with my family, which I hadn't done in far too long. Brennan and Dylan to Rocky Mount, Wood went to Winston-Salem. We all kind of hopped all over. And I just kind of started digging into these tapes that we had and trying to start build it up. And we got together like a decent skeleton on the songs and just kind of decided, hey, that was in May. We're like, let's get back in Charlotte and let's do the whole thing backwards. So let's start recording now, meeting with promoters now with no resume. I mean, we had absolutely no resume. We would like reach out to these promoters to like try to get them to help us for the future, to build a relationship now. And they would like be like, can you tell us about your ticket sales histories? And we're like, I have nothing.
Right.
So that was really interesting trying to like build those relationships cold, you know, and like trying to lead with like, how can we do something that's mutually beneficial without us having anything to bring to the table? So we did it all backwards. We started putting out the singles. We had put out one in January that we just made in like one weekend and people liked it, I guess. So we just kept doing that. And I mean, people were starved. All of our friends were starved for music. We all have pretty big crews too. Like I go on Fish tour with my whole bunch of buddy, and Wilson, our drummer, has his whole crew that he goes on tour with. So we're all kind of deeply entrenched in this community, and everyone is so starved that we started putting out singles, and our friends, bless all of them, were helping share it. And we kind of just did the whole thing backwards. It's been fun. It's kind of an adventure.
What's cool about it is none of this would have probably have worked if the music wasn't there. You know, it's a great story, but if the music wasn't there, you probably would have not made it. We probably wouldn't have been talking today. Talk a bit about the music, because I think that's at the core of what you guys are. And it's great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Are these songs that y'all wrote together? Are these songs that Brennan wrote or Dylan wrote? How did these songs come to be?
It's crazy. It's, I think seven of the eight songs were written before Pluto Gang was even a thought. And it's really cool because I have the demos of all of them, of the songs that I had written, the songs that Dylan wrote, the songs that Wood wrote. And we all kind of just said, like, here's what I have. And then Brennan will take that and saying, well, you have a totally different range than me. Let me soul-ify and make this real sexy. And Dylan, like, that dude's ear is insane. So he just basically took all of our compositions and rearranged everything.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was literally, it was just a lather, rinse, repeat of everyone putting their hands on existing content. So whatever came into the churn as a Wood Britain original came out very different. I mean, I think Wildfire was written for him on an acoustic guitar and a banjo. Little did he expect me to put like five organ layers on there. So yeah, it was very much a collective iteration on our individual voices. I mean, it's definitely a coming together project.
Yeah,
I think that's the best way I can put it.
The songs are fairly catchy and fairly short, at least for an album, in terms of length. I would imagine that in a live setting, though you haven't played these a ton live, I would imagine in a live setting, these jam out like, you know, your typical Fish or Spafford or Goose.
You've been cracking up about this all week. So we just played our album release show on Friday.
Yeah.
Which was insane. I mean, trying to play a small album release show at the height of the pandemic was just an unfathomable amount of work between getting a massive, like venues that like bands I idolize would like struggle to fill out, and then renting tables, getting people to run the door. Like for a small band like us, it was, we pulled it off. I feel very good about the event, the production, the safety, but that was a feat. But a song like Free Time, which is on the album, we actually had never played that together as a band when we tracked it, because I was jumping around and going to different people with my little recording rig, my shitty microphone and my interface, and saying, like, I need your guitar tracks on this. And then after we had finished the structure and we were, like, putting the finishing touches on that, that's when we started playing it together. And we like came up with a whole third part in jam, which is now we play live, but is not in the album. So it's cool. Now there's more fluidity that's being added into the prior rigidity that was forced upon us by the pandemic.
Right.
Which is fun. It's like I said, everything's backwards. So it's cool. So I was messing with the guys the other day. I was like, let's start coming up with the songs that are going to be on project two. And Dylan's like, no, we have to go and like learn everything together and do it the right way and like jam it out so we can include that, like the snapshot of where we are as a performance group into the album. So it's fun.
What's all your backgrounds? I mean, you're all musicians and everybody, you know, could have, you know, a side gig playing guitar or playing keyboard, but are you guys trained musicians? Did you go to school for music, or did anybody in the band go to school for music, or is it just all learned and
kind of a hybrid? So I know Dylan and myself, neither of us studied jazz, but we both, like, it wasn't our major, but we were both kind of squeaking out our general eds for our major and then using all of our time to take any jazz. I was taking jazz piano just for a little bit. I mean, it was not a full-time thing, but it really helped with like my brain. I was doing statistics and economics, so it was as far as I could get from that. And Dylan was doing a lot of songwriting and jazz improvisation stuff, but I think he was also economics, so very much squares and yuppies. Wilson studied music business for a little bit. So it's all just been a side passion mm-hmm. that we've had time this year to get really intense about it. And I think that's what you're hearing more so than a pedigree of long-term commitment.
Hey, you know what? Whatever ingredients go into the pie, it seems to have worked out. I mean, it's a great record and these songs are so good and full of depth. What's the plan now? I don't want to talk too much about the songs themselves. I really want people to hear them and listen to them. Yeah. But I'm curious about the plan now, because I'm certainly not the first person to have called you guys to talk about the record. At least I hope I'm not.
It's pretty low number.
Well, that's sad.
It's still very new. You know what I mean? It's like none of us have been in the scene for long enough to have like standard relationships that we can talk to for press.
Right.
So it's another thing that we're building while, you know, the plane being built while you're flying it is a good metaphor.
Yeah.
But we're doing that on the content portion, the promotion side, publicity. It's in motion.
It's in motion. And is the plan hopefully when this pandemic, I guess the real question is the plan to become full-time or 75% of the time musicians and see this project through?
If we can get to the point where I feel comfortable in that, that would be the conversation. Yeah, I'm skeptical to dive into that idea in November in the United States right now.
No, I'm not saying when the pandemic clears and stuff, you know, and it's not.
Yeah, I don't think I'm informed enough to make that judgment, but all of us are bought into the project. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the plan is to just really start playing a lot in the Southeast. We've made some good friends that are trying to help us start to book stuff out for next summer and spring now. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I mean, we had a lot of shows booked for the spring that didn't happen. We were supposed to share the stage with Neil Francis in May, who I just love. I cannot get over his debut album.
Yep.
So we'll see. It's there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yes.
And I think that being something that people, myself included, like get anxious from like lack of certainty or control, we're kind of having fun with it, which is like extremely therapeutic for me, especially because I'm very type A.
Right.
So just like rolling with it, and we just keep everyone's having so much fun just like seeing what's happening, because none of us expected this response. So I think we're kind of still in that gratitude phase more so than anything else.
You have played a few live shows. In keeping with the jam band tradition, is the plan to release some of those some of those live shows on Archive or on E-Tree or from your own website? Is that the plan?
Absolutely. Going forward, yes. We're just now really investing into our rig, so to the point where I can get really high quality content from anything. Right. that's been a big barrier for us thus far. I'm a pain in the ass about all this stuff. So I'm like, I would rather have good, I would rather have nothing than bad quality.
Yeah.
So we're investing into the quality now, so that we can do that. It's funny. I was actually just listening to your episode with Pete yesterday in the car. I actually did one of the Live Lesson Masters things with him back in, I think it's called Lively now.
Yeah.
Back in April. So shout out to Pete from Goose and Mark Brownstein from the Disco Biscuits, who set that whole venture up. He really gave us a lot of good advice on technical excellence, like things you can do now so that you're ready to have like that army of content.
Yeah.
You know, it, like, nothing happens in isolation. Their success, like, those guys are masterminds. They're scheming and developing everything.
Yeah.
So that's something we're really pushing towards, is to have that audio and video from every time we play going forward.
It's so cool to me to think about, you know, to think about the heritage of the scene and how young band, like, I consider Goose a really young band in the grand scheme of the scene, because they, in fairness, really they've blown up over the last year and a half. Yeah. And Spafford too, in the last 2.5 years or 3 years, really. And these are all, you know, friends of mine at this point. Like, I, you know, we chat or fool around online and stuff. So it's really intriguing to me that they're so young and yet they have so much to offer a band like Pluto Gang, who are like infinitely smaller, and yet the trail keeps going, right? Like, the torch keeps being not really the torch. It never stops, right?
Yeah. I love the torch metaphor. Y'all were dispelling that the other day.
Well, because there's so much silliness that goes on, yeah, on, yeah, you know, some of these.
Well, I'm in all the Facebook groups. I'm in all of them.
Yeah, it's so silly where they, you know, they, you know, when is Trey going to pass the torch to Rick? Like, that's silly. It's ridiculous. Trey is not hanging it up. Rick has
coexistence.
Yeah, and Rick has a long way to go. I mean, he's great, and he's a champion at what he does, but he's not Trey Anastasio. Like, the guy's been playing for 40 years. Like, let's not pass the torch yet. Yeah. So it's interesting to me that passing the torch, but just, you know, providing some guidance, and, you know, Aqueous gets a lot of guidance from Umphreys, and Spafford gets guidance from Umphreys. Yeah. And it's just interesting to see how y'all are doing this and getting it together. What's interesting in your case is you're doing it in basically isolation. You're not playing with anybody. You're not playing for fans. Nobody hears you except if they pick up this record. Like, it's a pretty crazy phenomenon. Would this have happened this way if not for the pandemic?
Hell no, absolutely not. I mean, kind of a window opened up that, so it's also weird geographically for us. So you have to, like, understand Charlotte.
Right.
I love my city. I love it here. I love North Carolina. Every band comes through. So, like, every other weekend, there's some ripping band crushing it at the Neighborhood Theater, the Visualite, all of my favorite rooms here. And these are, like, killing local venues. But there's never really been, like, a local jam act.
Right.
There's a badass rap scene. There is a great indie community.
Bluegrass.
Actually, like, really good, like, type of, like, there's this whole, like, new folk movement that's happening right now.
Right.
And that's really popping off as well. There's a lot of really good bands, but there's kind of this scene isolation. Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned, like, that thirst for content right now, that we kind of deliberately, like, Brennan studied marketing in college. I do a lot of, like, digital optimization for work. And we kind of, we're like, okay, well, how can we take the stuff we do during the day, and then when we get off work, just start hammering the internet vacuum, I would say. So in a sense, that was happening, and, like, the local established bands didn't have, like, their grip that they had on everyone. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of were like, let's just work triple time right now. Right. And I mean, that is a grateful statement for, like, trying to blossom something in the worst possible times.
It's absolutely,
and the whole thing is still very weird to me.
Well, no, it's amazing. Like, it's incredible.
Even talking right now is weird to me. So
no, it's incredible. I think it's a great story, and it's, you know, one of the best things that I found from this pandemic is your story. You mentioned that you're talking to promoters. Are you talking to management teams at all yet? Or is that still too far down the line, you think?
We're mostly focusing on the booking side right now. So we've been talking to a few like booking companies.
Yeah.
And that's just like all parties doing their due diligence, being prudent on planning forward. I think these are conversations that are worth happening now.
Right.
But again, none of that is like ego inflation territory or thinking that we, you know, we have the golden turkey, you know?
No, I don't get that. I don't get that impression from talking to you at all, but I can tell you that listening to your music, that there is going to be a quick rise here because the music is so good. I mean, story aside, you know, I wouldn't have reached out if the music sucked. Like, I get plenty of stuff that comes my way.
We made it in my bedroom, so I'm glad you think that.
Sorry?
We made it in my bedroom, so I'm happy to hear you think that.
So just hang on. That's my, you know, I think good things are about to come your way.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for taking the time. We're going to let the world, or at least our world, know about Pluto Gang if they don't know about it tomorrow. So thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Please do get some of that live. There's a cover, boys and girls, there's a cover of Wisteria Lane out there. There are countless Grateful Dead covers out there. There are Fish teases, Grateful Dead teases. I mean, if you're a true jam band fan, Pluto Gang is going to be on your radar pretty quickly, and you'll definitely want to pay attention. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it, and continued success, whatever that looks like in the upcoming months and years.
Thank you very much. Again, we're still deep in this kind of gratitude disbelief phase. So I appreciate that. We're still got to figure out what our metrics for success are, but right now we're having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. Thanks, dude. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ira.
Lots of great things on the horizon for Pluto Gang, and I couldn't be more excited for the guys who seem like passionate music dudes. You should definitely check out Better Out Here when you can, wherever you stream or listen to music. You can also check out their website at PlutoGangMusic.com and their presence on various social media platforms. Before we leave you, how about another great track from Pluto Gang? Here is Miss.
Over here.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.